Thank the Lord for the testimonies. As Brother Virgil, he said here, and he reminds us, I pray with him a couple mornings a week, and almost every time he talks about how good God has been, and he has to all of us. I couldn't hear everything he said. I don't know if he let slip the fact he's getting ready to turn 85, but he's the youngest 85-year-old I know. And God's been good to him, but he's been good to me and all of us, even on our bad days. I'd rather have the worst day as a child of God than the best day of a sinner. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that I'm a child of the King. You know, I've been communicating. It's been difficult this week keeping in touch with the brethren in Cuba. And I ask you to pray for them. The government has shut down a lot of the communication, internet, phones, everything, with all that's going on. But I have been able to hear from them and know that they're safe. They're mostly staying in the homes until things calm down. But I told the brother that, I said, God not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he owns the hills. And this is his world. And he's going to take care of you and supply your needs. You know, when I'm down, when I'm thinking that things are bad, it's so easy for me just to think of what they're going through. And I realize that I'm not going through too much. I've got food, you know, to eat. I've got air conditioning. I've got a car to drive. I mean, all these things that are not even possible there. To having like we do, but we are very blessed. I'm thankful you're here tonight. The Lord is with us. I know that I got Sister Margaret gave her brother instruction when he got to Revelation to, as a new Christian, I understand, you go back, start over, and get to it sometime. I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation. chapter 21. I'm not studying end times, but I want to look at a truth that is so such a blessing to us here. In Revelation chapter 21, I'll read verses 6 through 8. And he, this is, John is talking about God on the throne. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7 is where I'll come back to it, but please catch these words. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll let that settle in. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We know everybody's not going to be in that number, and so the next verse says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, that's depraved individuals, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness to us. Lord, we say it. We believe it, we acknowledge it, and yet, Lord, it is in such a small way that our finite minds comprehend how good you are. One day we're going to stand in your presence. One day we're going to behold your majesty and your goodness. One day our minds are going to be opened up and we will reflect upon this life that we have lived and what you brought us through, and forever and ever we will sing of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace to us. I thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit that ministers the word of God to our hearts and minds. I pray that you would give us understanding. I pray that we would be willing to open our heart to receive what you have for us and be blessed by these wonderful promises. I pray that we would be encouraged or stirred, whatever you know that we need tonight, that you might be glorified. We ask for your anointing and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I didn't go back and read the first few verses, but it says in verse 5 that the one who is saying these words is the one who sits on the throne. It is God himself, not any throne, but the throne of heaven. He is the one that when that time of the end comes, he said, I'm going to make all things new. He is the one that is the Alpha and Omega. That means the beginning and the end. This is the one that we know as our Heavenly Father, the one who one day, and many people, we believe it soon, God's going to say to this time world, it's enough. That's all God has to do is say, it's enough. And this world will be over. We will be ushered into eternity. And then, and I'm not going to dwell there, but it will be as the Bible says, we will receive according to our works. It's a very disturbing scripture, but it's not only one time. It's mentioned several times. And the reason, in case you wonder what that means, is God is going to judge us according to our works because the works reveal what is in our heart. You know, there's a bunch of people that say today, well, God knows my heart. Well, the problem is your heart is evidenced by your works. What's in the heart comes out the mouth and comes out the life. And so God will be a just judge in doing that. Now, I'm not going to dwell there, but that's part of the reason why verse 8 says what it does. Those just downright disturbing things. People of these particular characters, fearful, unbelieving, depraved, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they all will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. But it's in verse 7 that I want to draw your attention, where he said again, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. You know, we've sung in this old song, I'd ask him to sing, I'm a child of the King. It talks about a mansion on a hillside. We think about streets of gold and the different mental images that people have of what heaven's going to be like. And let me just tell you, we can't imagine that far. Amen. I know there's a popular song that says, I can only imagine, but I can just tell the guy he can't imagine that far. None of us can. It's better. But God is not only talking about inheriting a certain portion or a mansion or anything like that. He said that we will inherit all things. It's a marvelous truth. It struck me as I was reading through here today, going over it. And I'll get to that in a moment. And I realize, you know, Sister Margaret said, a lot of people either skip the book of Revelation or even a lot of older believers will just skim through it. Because there are mysteries in Revelation. I don't stand here as one who in any way tells you that I have full or complete understanding. I don't even think that I do. There are things that while men have a lot of opinions about, there's times that I just withhold my opinion and my judgment because God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? And as much as men get carried away and there's a lot of talk about end times, I just always remind people, God is going to do what God is going to do. He's not going to ask this preacher or that denomination. His ways are above, and I'm absolutely convinced when the end comes, it's going to surprise them all. Amen, because God's bigger than us. And that's all right. I just tell you, as I often do, let's just be ready. You know, we're ready. We're in right relationship with God, then we're not going to dread that day. But I want to talk to you tonight about the subject from verse 7. The words, the spiritual inheritor. Now, the word is used in verse 7 that we will inherit. A person who inherits, the one receiving the inheritance, that is, he's called in one place an heir. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, but another way to describe that person is an inheritor. We're going to be spiritual inheritors. Amen? We have already begun. See, this is one of the wonderful things about serving God. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to begin to partake of our inheritance. We've already begun. Now it's going to be so much more glorious and full of majesty that, as I will say again, we cannot comprehend. But I'm glad that we can begin to taste of that spiritual inheritance even in this time world. Now, even though there are mysteries in this book, and I'll be very honest about that, I encourage believers to read it because throughout the book of Revelation there are truths, there are promises. You may not understand certain sections, but there are verses just like that we've read here tonight that will absolutely bless your soul and lift you up and encourage you. And that is why he begins saying, blessed are those who read this. He warns us at the end, don't add to it. Don't try to take away from it. So, you know, we got to be careful. But we are blessed if we read with a heart that is right with God. And I'll go on from that. But verse 7 is one of these that the writer called great and precious promises. It is a promise of God about what he himself is going to do for those who overcome, those who are the inheritors, those who are engaged in the fight of faith, and they're going to come out on top. They're going to be victors in the conflict, those that are running the race, and they're going to endure to the end. They're going to keep pressing on, and they're going to finish this race. God says to those that overcome, I'm going to do something special for them. Amen? Now, small as this verse is, there are many things, many truths that are implied in this. And of course, when you open a verse saying, he that overcometh, you need to pause right there because that reminds us of a very real truth. I talk about it often. The fact that you're going to overcome means that you got something against you. You are in a battle. We know not only from this little verse, but from the whole of the New Testament and even the spiritual symbolism of the Old Testament that Christian life, living for God, a true Christian life in this world, it's not going to be, it is a battle. Amen? Every day there are battles. Why is it a battle? Why do we have to overcome things? Because we got enemies that are against us. We have the world. We have the flesh. We have the devil. Amen? There are weapons that our enemy uses against us. A lot of weapons. Things like unbelief, mentioned here in the next verse. Things like doubt, things like discouragement, and we could go down a whole laundry list of particular sins and things that the besetting sins, weaknesses in our own constitution, our own nature, that Satan tries to use against us. He has weapons at his disposal that he will use against us. Not only do we have enemies, not only are there weapons that are formed against us, and by the way, when we are children of God, always remember about those weapons. No weapon formed against us will. Hallelujah. The devil's got big weapons, Brother Chris. No weapon will prosper against God's children. And then, of course, as we run this race, as we travel on this pilgrim journey, there are obstacles in the way. Amen. I'm not going to get into all that. I will tell you, and I want to encourage you tonight, but I've got to be honest, from God's word, most people are not going to overcome. It saddens me to say that, but to be true to God's word, to be true to the words of Jesus, most people are not going to be inheritors. Most are living their lives making preparation for the lake of fire. That is a disturbing, terrifying thought if people really could understand. It ought to keep us on our knees in prayer and intercession for lost souls. But the other side of that is there's going to be some that overcome. God is going to have a remnant, amen? And it's not going to be a ragtag, beaten down, defeated remnant. It is going to be a victorious remnant. It's going to be a remnant who every single one are overcomers in this spiritual conflict. That remnant is going to come through fiery trials in this world. That remnant is going to overcome every enemy, every foe that is against them. And matter of fact, if you have read, and I'm sure that most of you have read the book of Revelation, there is a lot said about overcomers in this single book. And how could we forget the words of Jesus in John 16 and 33 when he told us straight out, in this world you're going to have problems, you're going to have tribulation. I'm so glad that didn't end there. But, he said, be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. Amen. I thought about that as later on in the day near church time, and I thought about changing the song, because that means because he has overcome, as we abide in Christ, we're on the winning side with Jesus. Amen. That's an old song. I don't know how many of you know that, and I won't sing it. I'll spare you, but I'm glad that as a child of God, as a part of that remnant, dear ones, as somebody who has put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and abiding in him, that I know I'm on the winning side with Jesus. That's the only winning side. There are no other. The only ones that's going to make it are the overcomers. Do you know that? Now, in this verse, obviously, there's the conflict that's spoken of. But then we realize when God speaks these things that there are going to be some inheritors. There's going to be some heirs. There's going to be some people who are receiving something. And in case you don't know, every good thing we receive from God is because of his grace and mercy, not because we deserve it. Amen? You say, Brother Chris, you just got through talking about we're going to be judged according to our works. Do you know that if you, by the grace of God, or I, by the grace of God, are able to live a life of good works that glorify God, every bit of the glory and credit goes to him? Amen? There's nothing good in me. Nothing good in you apart from him. But thank God when we accept him as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in and our life becomes one. Like Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're to live a life of good works so that others may see them and glorify your Father. And so we have these that are described as the inheritors, the heirs of God, the ones they're in line to receive something. Not because they are good, not because they are deserving in themselves, but because they have come into a relationship. Amen. Now, that sounds neat on a human level, you know, being an inheritor. That means some things. Because before you can become an inheritor, at least two other things have to be in place. First of all, there's got to be an inheritance. And there's got to be a benefactor. That is the one who wills the inheritance to the inheritor. You know how it is. I mean, in normal course of human life, a parent, a loved one, a family member, someone, you know, that has something to leave behind, they pass away, they make a will, and they outline. You know why they outline in the will? Because they don't want a bunch of confusion. You know that somebody... Now, I'm not worried about it because, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm living my inheritance right now as far as the things. And I really don't worry about it. But you know how it can be, and this can be a very messy thing. And so they make very clear in the will that this one, and they will not just put, you know, John Doe, they will put Jonathan Edward Doe, born this day, this Social Security number. And if some other John Doe shows up and not got the right birthday, doesn't have the right identification, guess what? He's not going to be gaining anything. The will, the guarantor, defines the inheritors. Amen? So you have a benefactor. That's the one given. But even someone with... Now, why is it called a benefactor? Well, because... That beneficent, that is about giving. But, you know, you may be very beneficent, but If you don't have nothing to give, Sister Sherry. Amen? See, we would like to, sometimes, you know, on long trips, my wife and I'll say, or I usually do, so, you know, see that Powerball sign, you know, $100 million. What would we do if we won that? I don't want a bigger house. I don't need a better car. But I say, man, what I could do to help, you know, and I just go down the list. Because I just want to be a benefactor. I want to be used to bless others. I mean, I can't eat any more than I'm eating now. I can't drive but one car at a time. You know, I can't wear but one suit, one tie. Well, sometimes one tie is too many. I mean, I'm trying to describe the benefactor is the one that giving, he has a heart to give, but the fact that there's inheritance means he has something to give. You know, your poor Uncle Joe, he leaves a will, and you think, you find out, well, he left you as the inheritor. And you're thinking, well, he don't have two dimes to rub together. I wonder who I'm going to owe. You know, all I'm going to get is his bills. Well, I'm glad that we have a heavenly benefactor. We call him Father. He is our God. He is not ashamed to call us his children. Hallelujah. And there is no one that has an inheritance like him. Amen. Inheritance is something not only that he can give, but he's willing to give. And it's something worth having. Something desirable. Amen. See, your Uncle Joe may say, you know, I will to you, you know, my old 1983 Dodge with 300,000 miles, and you're thinking, take my name out of the will. I don't want it. It's not desirable. He has to have something. He has to be willing to give it. But it needs to be something worth having, something desirable. Amen. Now this, you know, you thought Revelation was confusing. This is not difficult to understand tonight. This is a blessing to us. We know that the benefactor is God. He is our Father. We know the Bible tells us that every good gift comes down from our Father in heaven. Amen. James said that in chapter 1, verse 17. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from our Father. That's where the inheritance comes from. But then it says these words. I never thought about these words so much until today. See, if you'd asked me, said, do you think you're an heir of God? Oh, yeah, I know the Bible says that. A joint heir with Christ? Absolutely. But I read this today, and I just had to stop. Wait a minute. Let's rewind. Let's go back. I'm not just going to inherit a little bit, Sister Lisa. I just read that we're going to inherit all things. All things. That got my attention. Amen. I love the word all in the way that it's used in the Bible most of the time. Sometimes it's troubling when it's talking about the evil. We can't get our minds around all things when it comes to God. Our minds are finite. He is an infinite God. We can't begin to conceive of the vastness, the grandeur, the glory, the majesty of all things that pertain to the living God. You know, if some multimillionaire said you got all things, you could kind of get your mind around what they could do. If Jeff Bezos said, I'm going to give you all the things that I have. Well, I mean, I can't imagine what $80 billion is like or whatever. But I could start to. After a few weeks, I could figure out, you know, how to help people. But I'm not talking about Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or whoever, Elon Musk, whoever's moved up to number one. This is God that says all things. Not man. Not the greatest king in history. Not Solomon. This is God that says. He that sits on the throne of heaven says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Now, we need to be willing to pause a moment because our minds are so material oriented. And you know, I thought of something else. Most of the time in this world, when there is a benefactor and an inheritance, that means that the benefactor has gone, right? Not many people have their will administered while they're alive. Matter of fact, Brother Gene was probably the only one I know that gave an inheritance while he was living, at least a good part. That's not normal in this world. You don't get the inheritance till the benefactor dies. Well, we have to be willing to lift our mind above this world, because I got news for you, the benefactor is not dying. He's not going away. He's not changing. Amen. So what we began to piece together in this, because we're talking about a spiritual inheritance, we are talking about the most exalted privilege available to any creature in this universe. And that is to be able to not just receive a thing from God, but to share the riches of God Himself through all eternity. Now, that I can write that in a sentence, I can say it, but my brain cannot fully get wrapped around that. See, we've got to get our minds above mansions and streets of gold and crowns and all that stuff. And I'm not going to argue with anybody about that stuff. What helps somebody to imagine another world, a better world than this? There's beautiful songs written, and we sung one of them. But it is not for the mansions that I think about inheriting. It is not for some lot along the street of gold that I look forward to a part of my inheritance. It is the privilege that no creature in this universe is going to be able to enjoy except those who overcome. And that is to, we call it worship, which so inadequately defines, but it is to bask in. It is to so enjoy the fullness of who God is forever and ever and ever, to have our souls so thrilled eternally with who God is that we won't care about mansions because we have God. You see, this is not just about what God has given. He does give every good and perfect gift. This is not only about what God has done, and He has done great and marvelous things for us throughout human history, culminating in the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and giving us His grace. He's done so much, but this is more. Our souls are going to thrill forever, not only in what God's given, not only in what God's done, but we are going to bask in who God is. I don't know if I can't get it. Words fail. Not just all things, not things material, but all that God is. How can we imagine? Well, I know the answer. We can't. God's Word tells us that. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, some people are thinking about things like mansions and, you know, the river and all that. It is the most exalted privilege that any could creature could ever enjoy, to have God. To have God. Now we could, and I love songs about heaven. I like talking about, I like daydreaming about heaven. Sister Margaret, I talked today, I find myself doing a little more as I get older. I get more homesick. It's a wonderful thing. You know, we could probably sing for hours just songs written about heaven, which are the imaginations of mortals about the glories of heaven. And they're wonderful songs. But we're never going to exhaust. We're never going to scratch the surface of what this all things of our inheritance really is. Amen. But I wanted you to think about, okay, that's the opening. Now we're going to start preaching. No. It was a long opening, and my main point is shorter. But where I'm going, I want to end with, and I've said it already, that anytime there is a benefactor, there's a will, there is an inheritance, there are very explicit instructions about who that's going to belong to. Amen. Not anybody can show up and claim an inheritance. I mean, well, anybody could try, but they're not going to get it. When that person comes, they got to be able to prove, I am that person. I am the one defined in the will. Can I tell you tonight, and it gets a little more serious for a moment, not everybody is going to be spiritual inheritors. And so we need to understand what kind of person this is. See, it's not a person of a certain social rank, or it's not for the rich, not for the poor. It's not about, you know, what kind of name you're born with or good looks, thank the Lord. But it is about the character. It is about the condition of the person's heart. See, you know, I say things like this often, but I will guarantee you tonight that this one that God is speaking of that's going to be a spiritual inheritor is so much different than most of religion is describing today. Just a couple, three quick points, and I'm not going to be so much longer, but the first, you say, what kind of person is this? Who's going to be the inheritor, Brother Chris? Well, the first is very obvious. I opened talking about it. It's he that overcomes. Amen? Amen. Now, what does that word mean? Is this going to be those who live their life in sin, defeated by the devil, beaten down by the world, dragging around in a miserable religious life with no joy, no praise, no benefit in their life to God or humanity? Is this that kind of person that's going to stand and claim the inheritance? Well, we could close with that other old song that, I don't know, did we learn it, Sister Kim? That song that says sin can never enter there. We sung it recently, didn't we? Sin can never enter there. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. It will bar you at the door. So are the spiritual inheritors going to be like religion says today? The people who are living in sin, dragging sin along with them, choosing sin. I'm not denying the fact, I say it often, that I said it tonight, we're in a battle. We are in a battle for our eternal souls. Oh, this is not someone that is defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is somebody who overcomes by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen? You don't want anybody leaving saying, Brother Chris said, you got to be this kind of person for God to recognize you. We are nothing, nothing can do nothing without God. Please be clear about that. It is only by His grace and mercy. But there are going to be no other spiritual inheritors but those that overcome. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What does that mean, by the blood of the Lamb? That means it is only for the souls who have looked to Jesus, crucified and risen, shedding that blood for us, and they have put their faith and their trust in that Savior and no one else, not one iota of confidence in self. Only those are going to be overcomers. That's what the blood of the Lamb means, but it's not done there. It said by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, it's not enough just to say you put faith in Christ. You cannot be ashamed of your testimony of Christ. I know that people have this ideal today, you know, but I'll just tell you tonight, this is not for closet Christians. And by the way, there are no such things. Amen? Anybody remember the words of Jesus about this? If you're ashamed of me, I'll be... I don't want that. They're not ashamed of Christ. They're not ashamed of their faith. This is not Sunday morning Christians, which is, I'm not going to get into it, but it is most of our religious world today. Sunday morning Christians, and the rest of the week they live like they want to live to themselves. This is a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. A fully committed child of God. I know that's not popular. And then secondly, only one way to become an overcomer. The inheritors, I mean, even in human life, who's the inheritance usually go to? You know, if I got inheritance, you know, we haven't done it, but when the point time comes that we make our will, who am I going to put in my will as the inheritors? Yes, the children. My sons. Amen? Now, I done told them I'm making a conditional one. I'll get into that later. There are no going to be no inheritors except children of God. Amen? That means those who have been born again, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. And by the way, John says about those, see, you got to be born into the family of God. Amen? John said in 1 John chapter 5, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. It's not for people who have a form of religion. They're not going to be inheritors. It is a soul that has been rescued from the hand of the enemy, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, bought with a price. Amen? Made a new creature, given a new heart. Adopted, brought into the family of God, the royal family. Hallelujah. See, we ought to remember that. Oh, I've thought so many times, Brother Wilson, he told me that so many times, because as little as they have, he would remind me, he said, but my Father is the King. He owns it all. What do I have to worry about? You know, I'm a child of the King. Now, being born into the family, becoming a son or a daughter, that means that there's got to be a relationship. See, we're not of those. If you don't know, I'll just tell you our theology. We are not of those that say you can have be a child of God but not be in relationship with God. You cannot be a child without a relationship. Because Christian, the sonship is based on relationship. I get sick of hearing that all the time. You know, oh, that, you know, I'm saved, I'm doing good, I'm just out of fellowship, I'm not in good relationship anymore. Anyway, let's go on. I'm about to close it up. We have to be children of God. Living so that God is not ashamed to call us His children, and we are not ashamed to call Him our God. But then, in the last point for tonight, I could go a long way, so you can thank me later, but just three quick points. The inheritor is not someone who just started running the race, fought a battle or two and done all right and, you know, fell away. No, the inheritor is one who finishes the race. What did Jesus say? He that endureth to the halfway point? He that endureth to the end, he shall be saved. And I've told people probably 1,000 times I've made this statement. I said, the ones that lose are the ones that quit. When you're pressing on, as hard as it may be, as bad as much as the battle, but if you got your eyes on the goal and you're pressing on, you're still in this fight, you're in this race, you're going to overcome. It's just those who quit. You can ask my boys and tell them, what was the one thing Dad drilled into you when you were little? Don't ever give up! Amen? You ask them. Don't quit! Because when you quit, you're a loser. You're defeated. Don't give up. It is he that endures to the end. Those are the ones on the winning side. Amen. Now we could talk about a lot of things, but I'm going to close now. We have a glorious inheritance. Amen. I do not have the vocabulary adequate, and no man does, to describe what God meant when He said all things. But I will tell you, by God's grace, I want to get there and find out. Amen. I want to get there. And I encourage you tonight. We've talked from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 Sunday, that, you know, it wasn't just a great cloud of witnesses, but we're in a race. And we got to keep our eyes. We got to keep looking unto Jesus. We got to keep pressing on. We got to realize we're not in a game. We're not playing games. Amen. This is a struggle for our eternity-bound souls. So by God's grace, and that's the only way it'll ever be, as we trust and we cling to God's grace, let us be those children of God, enduring to the end, who God will be able to say they have overcome. Let's be overcomers. Amen. Stand with us tonight. We'll sing a verse or two of this hymn. If you need to pray, we invite you to come. Father, thank you.